Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 17 and the fantasy championships in most leagues are in the books. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, clearly under the weather, as anybody can tell from my voice right off the bat. I have been dealing with one of these holiday winter colds all week long, but it's week 17. A lot of you just won, or maybe in heartbreaking fashion, lost your fantasy championships today. There's no way I was going to miss our last live stream of the season, and I am overjoyed to be joined by Pat Fitzmaurice for the first time on this show all year. Got you in right at the buzzer to talk a little fantasy football. So Pat, I will just start off by asking you, how did Fantasy Championship Day treat you?
Oh man, well, I was pretty idle since the semifinal week was just an absolute wipeout bloodbath for me, Ryan. But thanks for asking. Happy New Year. And yeah, normally we're talking Big Ten basketball, probably more than football. You know, we don't do a lot of shows together, not enough anyway. And, you know, we both have our stake in Big Ten basketball, but it'll be nice to talk some NFL football for a change.
Yeah, a refreshing change of pace, especially because I actually warned our producer, John, that you and I were probably going to talk like 20 minutes or so on Maryland and Wisconsin basketball. And then Maryland lost by like 37 points today at Michigan. It is their worst loss since joining the Big Ten in men's basketball. So I mentioned them. We can say we talked about it. I do not want to talk about that anymore. Let's jump right in to the fantasy football. For those watching this show live on YouTube, thank you. We have been here Sunday night, obviously all season long, 7:45 Eastern. We will not be here in week 18 because most leagues are done. So this is the last show of these live streams through the season. But even though the season is done for most leagues, I do want to let everyone know that we will not be going away entirely. Fantasy Pros will still produce new episodes every week, all season long, focusing on anything from free agency, the draft, early 2023 look aheads. Pat does a dynasty show for us, a whole lot more. So definitely stay on the lookout for the shows on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're watching here on youtube.com/fantasypros, please give us a like and be sure to subscribe to help us out. If you enjoy our content, click the bell to get notified of all of our latest podcasts, short videos, and live streams. Again, I am well aware of what my voice sounds like today, so I appreciate everybody bearing with me as best they can. We do have a winner to give away, a prize here. The winner of the autographed Treylon Burks Tennessee Titans mini helmet, courtesy of pristineauction.com, is Dustin Shepard. Please get in touch with our customer support agents at mailbag@fantasypros.com with your mailing address and proof of your subscription to the Fantasy Pros channel. We will get that jersey shipped out to you. Again, the winner is Dustin Shepard. Congratulations. Pat, not a ton of injuries here. Deepak, unfortunately, wasn't able to join us. Obviously, did a wonderful job recapping the day's injuries all season long for us on this show. Not here tonight. So I'll just run through a couple of them. We don't have the same medical expertise as he does, and there weren't a ton of really significant ones anyway. Plus, again, most people aren't playing in Week 18. But just to mention, Justin Fields was checked for a concussion. He returned to the game. James Conner left his game in the fourth quarter with a shin injury. Sky Moore left his game with a hand issue. Teddy Bridgewater had a finger injury, so they had to go to their third stringer in Miami. Nick Foles obviously left the game with the ribs issue. Josh Jacobs went to the locker room early in that game, but he did return. And Jacoby Myers had that hard fall on the touchdown on his shoulder. He did not return to that one, I don't believe. So just, we mentioned those. We might touch on them a bit more organically as we talk about these games. But let's get into the headlines of the day. Usually Erickson does these and he comes up with like some fun newspaper style headlines. Pat, I'm curious to hear what you came up with. Let's start with quarterback.
It has to be high times for Danny Dimes. And Danny Dimes was fantastic today. 4 touchdowns, 2 passing, 2 rushing. And, you know, I'm just amazed, Ryan. Like, he was such a turnover machine earlier in his career. He entered today with the lowest interception percentage among qualifying quarterbacks at 1.1%. And again, didn't throw any interceptions today. He's only lost 3 fumbles this year. He used to be a major fumbler. Like, he's been terrific operating this offense, and now he's going to be operating it in the playoffs. I'm sure Brian Daboll is delighted with what he has given the Giants this year.
I was just going to mention Daboll. He's obviously going to be one of the favorites for Coach of the Year simply because the Giants are in the playoffs. But I think that, you know, obviously the most compelling case for him is the fact that Danny Dimes has looked so good this year. Obviously won a lot of guys their fantasy championships today if you started him with his performance with 4 touchdowns. But he's been so good, and it seems pretty obvious after what we saw Daboll do with Josh Allen in Buffalo. Now Daniel Jones, obviously not to that same level in New York. It's potentially pretty exciting if you have him in fantasy going forward. Just like sort of shooting from the hip right now, where do you think you would put Jones, assuming he's still in New York and they don't make any major changes there, next season among your quarterback positional rankings?
Yeah, so I mean, they're like the 7 or 8 really coveted quarterbacks, I think, that maybe, you know, merit a selection in the first 6 rounds or so. And I think Danny Dimes is going to be right after that, but maybe he should almost be pushing for that. Like, I would say 6th or 7th round in a 12-team draft, you know, a 1-quarterback 12-team draft sounds about right. Maybe the 6th, because he does give you that rushing value, Ryan. But it's also going to be interesting. I mean, Danny Dimes is going to be stacking Dimes because, as you'll recall, the Giants declined his 5th-year option, basically making him prove it while he's proving it now. So they're going to have to drive the Brinks truck up to his house if they want to keep him. You know, I'm sure they're going to work it out, but, you know, at great cost.
Yeah, and obviously we have a long offseason to talk about 2023 rankings, but just to note, since it's the quarterback, it seems like a real key to being a league winner in recent seasons is getting one of those mid-round quarterbacks that then plays like an upper echelon guy. If they add a stud wide receiver, second season in Daboll's offense, I'm not saying I'm going to, you know, plant my flag on the Daniel Jones hill quite yet, but you could certainly see them there being a lot of upside there. Give me your running back headline for the day.
All right. Lions RB duo roars versus Bears. And it was really both guys. And the Bears defense has just been getting bludgeoned for weeks now. And, you know, we were wondering if it was going to be a Williams day, a Swift day. It turned out it was both of their days. You know, both of them putting up really good scores. And Williams especially, I mean, he had been, his value had dwindled to basically, if he doesn't fall into the end zone for you, he had nothing going on. But, you know, I think he even caught a pass or two today. But, you know, he needed 150 yards coming into the last 2 weeks to cash, I think, a $250,000 contract bonus. He got all but 6 of those yards, I believe, today. So, you know, he was motivated and it showed.
It feels like I've been looking at Jamal Williams as a fantasy running back for so long. I thought he was older. He played this whole season at 27. So again, sort of looking ahead to next year, Do you think that you'll be bullish on him, you know, as a 28-year-old running back who's coming off of a 15-touchdown season at least, and, you know, just really outplayed what our expectations were going into the year?
Depends where he goes, Ryan. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So it will be interesting to see where he lands. Like, I don't think he's going to go somewhere where they expect him to be the lead guy or even maybe the head of a committee. I think it'll probably be a timeshare somewhere. So really depends on the quality of the offense he goes to and whether he goes to, you know, a team with a good offense, good scheme, good coach, good offensive line, all that. But if he goes somewhere where the ecosystem isn't that friendly, I won't be quite as bullish.
There are really only two options at wide receiver for the headline. One really good and one really bad. Which one did you go with?
I'm a glass half full guy, Ryan. So Evans ends scoring drought with touchdown deluge. Man, he had had a 10-game touchdown drought, the longest of his career. Previous long, a 6-game drought in 2017. And man, did he end it in a big way. And the funny thing was, Ryan, like really early on in that game, he dropped a bomb where I wouldn't say he was wide open. He did have a guy kind of on his hip, but really should have made the catch and dropped it. And, you know, things have been so rough for him lately that you just wondered, like, oh man, is this going to be another one of those games where things just don't get going? And it was kind of like that for the first quarter and a half for the Bucs, nothing going on downfield. And then all of a sudden, Evans just started running by guys and, you know, like hauling in these deep balls that had been missing for so long. It was good to see. And I just hope that some people were able to cash in, because I know a lot of Evans investors were, you know, disappointed by the output the last couple of weeks. And maybe that contributed to their ouster from the fantasy playoffs. But man, if you got into the finals with Evans this week, you were pretty happy if you played him.
43.7 half PPR points. I believe that was more than his last 6 games combined. I think something like going back to week 10, because there's a bye week in there, combined, not as much as he had today. So just an all-time fantasy championship explosion. Though, like you said, maybe a lot of his managers did not make it to the fantasy championship because of him. Again, a guy who's like a little bit older, obviously he's been around a while. Again, sort of just looking ahead to 2023, I don't really know what to expect with Tom Brady. Let's say for a second that he's back in Tampa. How excited are you about Evans going into next year?
Oh man, if it's Brady again, not that excited, because I think Brady is kind of washed. Yeah, it's really going to depend. I mean, I'm like in the process of putting together a mock draft, like first 5 rounds for next year. And, you know, I've got to put Evans in there somewhere, because I don't think he's washed yet, but we really don't know what that quarterback situation is going to be. So that's definitely going to go a long way to determining his 2023 value.
Give me your tight end headline.
Investors crushed by Kelce come down. And so I guess the glass isn't half full here, Ryan. It's pretty empty if you are a Kelce investor counting on him in championship week. And who could have imagined that he would be outscored in that game by Albert O, who has been a healthy scratch for low these many weeks, activated because Greg Dulcich went on IR. And I think he had, 3 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown. And Kelce, like, I mean, if you play in a PPR league, he got you to double digits, but it was 7 for 42 and no touchdowns. Pretty disappointing if you're a Kelce owner.
Yeah, one Kelce manager was my mom in the championship against me. So I was quite pleased to see that he did not do well. She is in the chat, so I had to at least shout out her. I did. And technically, she has a 6% chance of winning, but I beat her. I won the title. So that was something that I'm sure she'll be talking to me about later. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a second to talk about BetMGM. Celebrate the new year at BetMGM. Sign up using bonus code FANTASYPROS and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM offers parlay specials and boosted odds every day. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code FANTASYPROS and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Now you're winning with the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Arizona, Colorado, Washington, D.C., Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Kansas, Washington, D.C., Louisiana, Nevada, Wyoming, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, Maryland, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369 in New York. Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789. Call 1-888-777-9696 in Mississippi or 1-800-547-6133 in Washington. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, and Utah and other states where prohibited. Promotional offers not available in Nevada and New York. Risk-free offers not valid in Ohio.
Let's get into the Sunday early afternoon slate.
Matchup recaps.
We'll start with Falcons 20, Cardinals 19. Not a ton of fantasy takeaways here. I did want to mention Trey McBride because he was a fairly well-regarded tight end prospect, obviously coming into the draft. 7 catches on 10 targets, 78 yards, and a touchdown in this one. Again, you know, the Cardinals are obviously down to their third-string quarterback. Sort of playing out the string late in the season. But it's nice to see a flash like this at a position where you don't see a lot of flashes.
Yeah, it was. And it'll be interesting. Like, he had a nice opportunity today with no DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore still out. So it's going to be fun to see where he works into that offense next year. Do they bring Zach Ertz back? But yeah, I mean, McBride was a stud at Colorado State. This is a good tight end prospect. So like, this was really his first impact game. He's a guy we're going to have to monitor in the offseason and see what they're talking about with him as far as their plans for him in that offense.
Greg Dortch had 4 catches on 10 targets, just 15 yards. Hollywood Brown, 6 for 61 on 9 targets. James Conner, before that shin injury, 16 carries, 79 yards, also 3 catches for 30 yards. On the Falcons side of things, Tyler Algier continues to look pretty good in the second half of the season. In fact, that's probably putting a little mildly. 20 carries, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Cordell Patterson had just 9 carries. He had 42 yards and a touchdown as well. Is Algier somebody that you're going to be really optimistic on going into next year? Let's assume that they don't add, you know, an early round rookie in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be probably someone else in that running back room, whether it's Cordero Patterson or someone else sharing the load with Algier. But man, if it's going to be Arthur Smith, they're going to be so run heavy that there's probably going to be enough for Algier to be fantasy relevant. And like, he's a guy I'm debating whether to include in this 5-round mock draft I'm working on. Like, he's right on the cusp, and he just seems to fit what Arthur Smith wants. Like, he wants that physical downhill runner, and man, like, Algier really brings it. That dude runs hard, and he's got some pass catching chops. So yeah, he interests me for sure for next year.
The run heavy offense is great for Algier, not so great for Drake London. He got 8 targets today, 5 catches, 47 yards. Do you think that the Falcons are going to add a different quarterback in the offseason? I mean, we've barely seen anything of Desmond Ridder. I'm not sure how optimistic I would be on London if Ridder is the incumbent next year.
Yeah, I do think probably in the offseason game of musical chairs, Ryan, they're going to go for some veteran, maybe a Derek Carr. But we need it for London, and we need it for Kyle Pitts, quite frankly. And it's been fun to see London get these bigger target shares. He's been making it work the last 3 weeks as his target share has approached like 40% in recent weeks. Even today, didn't really click with only 5 catches, but like the 8 targets on, I think they had like 26 passes or whatever. So right around a 30% target share again. Basically, all the throws were going either him or Cordero Patterson today for the Falcons. So you like seeing the heavy involvement. You just wish there was a little more passing volume going around, and maybe the quality of targets was worth a little bit more coming from a better quarterback.
Falcons host the Bucs next week. The Cardinals will be at the 49ers. Next game, the Lions 41, Bears 10. We already talked about the running backs. Jared Goff continues to be a pretty valuable fantasy asset for managers. 21 of 29 passing, 255 yards, 3 touchdowns. no interceptions. And this came on a day where Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't really do all that much. 4 catches on 5 targets, 62 yards. DJ Chark had just 56 yards on 4 targets. So it wasn't like his wide receivers were stepping up and really carrying him. He was just efficient and provided value.
Yeah, and last week it was 2 touchdowns for Shane Zylstra. Yeah. This week it was 2 touchdowns for Brock Wright. So I guess next week against the Packers, it's going to be 2 touchdowns for James Mitchell to get double-digit TDs to all the tight ends in Detroit. Yeah, I mean, Goff just, like, he's kind of, he reminds me in a way of Matt Ryan, where he just kind of wants to find the open guy. And generally, the last couple of seasons, it's been Amon-Ra St. Brown as that guy most often. But like, he's not necessarily forcing it to one guy. Like, he'll take, you know, what the any given play sort of gives him as far as an open receiver. But yeah, pretty terrific at home all season long for him. I think 23 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions in 9 home games. Impressive.
How are we going to be ranking Justin Fields next season? 7 of 21 passing, 75 yards, had a touchdown and a pick, but 10 carries and 132 yards on the ground. He has a chance to beat Lamar Jackson's single season rushing yards record for a quarterback. I mean, I know he's been banged up a lot this season. He's taken some scary hits. The rushing quarterbacks, they don't generally last that long. You know, at least in terms of long-term, they don't run as much as they do early in their career, but he's been so good in fantasy because of the ground game this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's top 5 for sure, Ryan. And I think probably 4th. I think I'd put him behind Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and that might be it. And wow. I think it's possible, Ryan, that 3 of the 4 best rushing quarterbacks of all time are playing right now and I'm even like leaving Allen out. Like, I think it's Hurts, Lamar Jackson, and maybe Fields, and Michael Vick is the one, quote unquote, old timer who has to go in there. Randall Cunningham was pretty awesome back in the day too, but man, like, these guys, and it's just the designed running of Fields is such a big component, but like, the guy's got a hose too, man. And we saw that when he was at Ohio State. And unfortunately, he's playing with a bunch of, you know, receivers who are like borderline NFL guys right now. I mean, Dante Pettis, Equanimeous St. Brown, N'Keal Harry. You know, he doesn't have Darnell Mooney. Chase Claypool is hurt right now. But, you know, they're going to add to that group in the offseason. And, you know, if Mooney comes back healthy, if Claypool gets a year in the system, if they add to that group, man, I mean, there's no reason he couldn't potentially be the QB1 next year.
I think you're probably right about, you know, historically where these guys rank, and it makes sense because, you know, back in the day, running quarterbacks didn't get the same opportunities that guys might get now. So we really we're basically picking from a bigger pool of these types of skills guys. So it really should be that we're seeing the best, and I think we are. Fields obviously does it in a different way than Lamar in terms of his running style. But it's similar. You're describing, like, oh, dealing with these borderline NFL pass catchers, just like Lamar. I've seen a lot of that as a Ravens fan. So there's definitely some similarities there. Obviously not quite the passer overall in terms of the numbers that Lamar was in those first couple seasons, but will be really interesting to see what happens with him next season. And if the Bears finally give him some true weapons. Cole Kmet, 2 catches, 27 yards, did have a touchdown. Khalil Herbert, 5 for 31 on the ground. David Montgomery, 6 for 24 on the ground. Not really anything doing for either of those guys. The Lions run defense has been really strong the back half of the season, so that's not too surprising. Lions are at the Packers next week. Bears will host the Vikings. Next game up, Jaguars 31, Texans 3. A lot of folks were a little nervous that the Jags might not play their guys or might not play them for the whole game because they didn't really need this game. The only game that matters for them is week 18 against the Titans to try and win the AFC South. We didn't get what we wanted from Trevor Lawrence. He just had 17 to 21 passing, 152 yards, no touchdown, and a pick before they pulled him because they got this big lead. Travis Etienne, on the other hand, thankfully, on his 9 carries, 108 yards, and a touchdown, also 32 yards through the air.
Yeah, you kind of summed it up. Everyone was concerned about whether the Jags would be motivated, and it turns out they did kind of shut things down a little bit early, but, you know, Etienne did go off, had that long touchdown run. So if you started him, he did take advantage of that terrible Houston run defense that people have been taking advantage of all year. And I mean, let's not even talk about the Texans, Ryan. Like, I know the one guy I got some questions about this morning was Brandon Cooks. You know, hopefully people didn't start him. I mean, Cooks is still good, but there's just nothing happening with this Texans offense right now. It's so dead.
I literally wrote in our notes, Brandon Cooks, 4 of 39 on 7 targets. Literally nothing else of note for the Texans. And I would argue that that itself isn't even of note for the Texans. Just ever since Damian Pierce went down, a totally worthless offense that really even spent a lot of time on outside of that couple week stretch with Chris Moore. The Jags, like I mentioned, are going to host the Titans next week. Texans will be at the Colts. Let's take a very quick second to remind the listeners, if they want even more access to our analysts all week, all season long, which I guess is we're at the end of the season, but all off season long, I should say, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more. Let's move to Chiefs 27, Broncos 24. A much closer game than we expected. Jerick McKinnon probably won a lot of fantasy leagues. Only 52 yards through the air, but 2 touchdowns on just 6 targets.
Yeah, McKinnon just turned into this, touchdown slot machine at the end of the season, who was paying off with every spin, pretty much. And, it's funny. He was really the only thing that did pay off in this passing game, Ryan. And some weeks are like that with the Chiefs, where maybe it's one guy who pays off or whatever. But, Mahomes always has these great passing numbers. And somehow, the love never gets spread around to more than one guy. It's almost like that, you're going to a magic show and there's that trick where the magician folds a newspaper into a funnel and he pours the milk in and the milk just disappears. Sometimes that's what it feels like with Patrick Mahomes' passing stats. Maybe one guy turns it into a good fantasy day and then you just kind of wonder where the rest of it all went.
Is there any concern next year that the Chiefs don't have the true Tyreek replacement? They don't really have an obvious wide receiver one. Obviously, Travis Kelce sort of serves that role. But just in terms of evaluating Mahomes, obviously he had, I would argue, the best season of his career, not statistically, but just in terms of how he looked and how he played the game. Is there any concern from you when going up against these really, really productive fantasy quarterbacks in Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts of keeping him in that tier when he doesn't have that true number one guy?
No, because I think we saw it this year and he's still having a great year. At worst, I think it's going to be more of what we saw this year, where it's Travis Kelce and then just an amalgam of wide receivers soaking up all these catches.
Kadarius Toney was 4 for 71. Isaiah Pacheco on the ground, just 9 for 31, but he did get in the end zone. Juju 2 for 21, MVS 2 for 28. So like you said, really not, a lot of production here from any of these guys. Today on the Broncos side, Latavius Murray was still RB1, but 12 of 56, didn't really do anything. Chase Edmonds, 7 of 34. Russell Wilson, one of his best games of the season, 26 of 38 passing, 222 yards, just 1 touchdown and a pick. But he also ran for 2 touchdowns, which we, of course, saw a lot in Seattle, haven't seen any of. In Denver, you mentioned Albert O getting a touchdown in this one, pretty shockingly, I would say. And then the two guys that we debated about most in this offense all offseason long, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, 4 for 44, 7 for 38, just nothing doing for either of these guys for a large part of the season and also today.
I know that. And they were such a focal point of, preseason analysis, who was going to be the main guy here. I think a lot of people settled on Sutton. I know some of our guys really liked Sutton. It just really hasn't panned out for either of them. And part of that stems from Russell Wilson turning in this disappointing season, the offense just, woefully underachieving. But yeah, there was, not really a lot cooking with either of these guys. Maybe in short bursts, Sutton early in the year, Jeudy kind of late, but nothing sustained.
Chiefs are at the Raiders next week. Broncos will host the Chargers. Patriots 23, Dolphins 21. My takeaway here was a poor performance. Ramondre Stevenson, just 8 for 42 on the ground. He had 2 catches on 4 targets, 9 yards. So nothing really there. Disappointing fantasy managers who rode him in the back half of the season to get to the fantasy playoffs in a lot of cases.
Yeah, Ryan. So I had this powerhouse team in my most important home league. And in week 15, that was the week after the Monday night Patriots Cardinals game where Stevenson appeared to injure his ankle, tried to come back and couldn't. And as soon as he tried to come back and couldn't, I'm like, I'm not going to play him next week. I'm worried about it. So the following week he goes out and hangs up, a bunch of points on the Raiders in that game, just completely goes berserk on my bench. And I lose by half a point. And then you know, I'm kicking myself because Stevenson appeared to be fine. And then these last 2 weeks, I mean, he's been playing like a guy who's hurt. And, you know, today kind of shared the load with Damian Harris. He had 34 snaps, Harris with 29, but Harris actually outtouched him 12-10 and even had one more reception than Stevenson had, which is kind of unusual. So, yeah, I mean, kind of a disappointing last couple of weeks for Stevenson. And it'll be interesting to see what happens next year with this backfield because Harris is going to be a free agent. You know, maybe they give Stevenson the sort of workhorse usage he has seen for most of this second half of the season with Harris kind of dealing with some health issues. But I don't know, maybe not, because the Patriots are always so unpredictable with their handling of their backfield.
And of course, they took the two rookies in this year's draft, so they've got youth on the roster at the position also. Speaking of youth, Tyquan Thornton had a touchdown, 60 yards, 7 targets, just 3 catches here. Is he somebody that you might be expecting a sophomore leap from next year?
Yeah, he's shown flashes, and he looked pretty good today. And he's actually looked pretty good whenever he's gotten some run here over the back half of the season. So, yeah, he's a guy I'm interested to see develop and, you know, a guy who could be an interesting mid to late round pick next year.
Jacoby Myers had 9 targets, 48 yards. He had a touchdown as well, the play he got hurt on. On the Dolphins side, there's really not much. I mean, again, when you're on a backup quarterback and then get down to the third stringer, there's not a ton of takeaways. Jeff Wilson, 15 carries. Raheem Mostert, 9. None of them got a lot of yardage. Mostert did do a lot in the air. 8 catches, 8 targets, 62 yards and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill, 4 for 55. Jalen Waddle, 3 for 52. I don't really think it's worth spending time on them again, just because when Skylar Thompson's out there, what are you really going to talk about?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, those guys both went over 100 yards last week against the Packers and barely combined for 100 yards this week.
Dolphins will host the Jets next week. Patriots are at the Bills. And a lot of these games, I know I'm reading off the matchups, it sort of remains to be seen, especially with teams like the Bills, what games will actually matter to teams and what won't. So just be paying attention to that. On the off chance, you actually do have a Week 18 Fantasy Championship, which we're kind of operating under the assumption most people do not. Giants 38, Colts 10. We talked about Daniel Jones just going to ruin a lot of fantasy weekends for people who are going to lose their fantasy championship game to Daniel Jones, of all people. Saquon Barkley, 12 of 58, 4 of 58 on the ground. He had -5 yards through the air on 2 catches, 4 targets. Richie James, 76 yards and a touchdown. Isaiah Hodgins, 42 yards and a touchdown. Is it worth sort of keeping an eye on these guys in the offseason? I mean, I'm sort of operating under the assumption that the Giants will add, you know, or at least will try to add a top level wide receiver in the offseason.
Yeah, you would think they're going to add and probably do it through the draft, Ryan, because the crop of free agent wide receivers is not real promising. But I don't know, Ryan, I'm glad that I don't have to do meaningful sets of rankings anymore, because I have gotten so frustrated trying to figure out how to rank the Giants wide receivers, and like, I've always got them in the wrong order. You know, like every time I want to rank Slayton as the highest guy, he lays an egg. Or every time I want to, you know, push up Hodgins, like that's his bad game. It's been hard to keep tabs on these dudes.
Again, similar to with the Colts, you know, as we talked about with the Dolphins, they were down to their third string quarterback by the end of this one. Probably not a whole lot to pay attention to. Zach Moss, 15 carries, 74 yards. Not the worst day, but didn't get in the end zone, so it probably didn't really help you either. Paris Campbell, 3 for 52. Michael Pittman did get a touchdown, just 41 yards. Not the breakout season we wanted from him. I don't even think it's worth asking what you're going to do with him in 2023 rankings, because it just is going to be totally dependent on what the quarterback situation looks like and what the head coach situation looks like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're still encouraged, I think, by the talent and that he's been able to command a major target share, even as the Colts have struggled with backup quarterbacks and this dysfunctional offense. But yeah, I feel like Zach Moss running the clock on their season is sort of symbolic of what's going on here. Like, just let's hand the ball to Zach Moss as many times as we can and get this season over with.
Yep. Let's go to Saints 20, Eagles 10. Big upset, surprising outcome in this one. Devonta Smith, 9 catches, 115 yards, team high 13 targets. He has been so productive the last like month and a half or so, maybe even going back further than that. And a lot of it sort of came on when Dallas Goedert got hurt. but now he's continued to produce even with Goddard back. Just looks like a true 1B to AJ Brown's 1A. Brown, 4 for 97 and a touchdown on 9 targets. Most of that production came on the one long touchdown, though. He really did nothing beyond that. It was Smith who was getting most of the workload from Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, man, like AJ Brown, obviously a stud, but Smith has been so good. And what a 1-2 punch. I mean, it's right up there with Hill and Waddle, with Chase and Higgins. Like, there's some great wide receiver duos in the league, and this is certainly one of them. I mean, he's just so good at getting open, and then, man, does he have some moves after the catch, too. So really fun to watch. And I'm sure a lot of the people who were invested in Eagles skill players were, you know, like, I think for the most part, they all had pretty decent days. But, man, they had to be frustrated at the onset of that game, Ryan. The Saints opened with a 9-minute scoring drive. And, you know, how frustrating if you've got A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith in your lineup and you see the other team chew up 9 minutes of the first quarter on that opening drive. But luckily, the people starting those guys got their rewards at the end.
Yeah, I know at one point, Scott Hansen on Red Zones, it was like early in the second quarter, and he pointed out that the Eagles had only run 3 plays, because I was looking and I was like, because I had Devontae Smith, I'm going up against Andrew Erickson, who obviously was on this show all season long in the finals of our work league, one of our work leagues. And I have Smith, and I kept checking, and I was like, "What? He's not doing anything. This is kind of surprising to me." And then I realized, oh, they've run 3 plays. So that sort of explained that one. Goddard finished with 45 yards. Miles Sanders, 12 for 61. Alvin Kamara on the Saints side, 16 to 74. Juwan Johnson was productive at times this season, 5 for 62 on 7 targets. Chris Olave, after some really strong performances in the early and middle part of the season, kind of fell off here at the end. Of course, was injured for a couple of weeks and was on the injury report for most of this week. 42 yards, 5 targets, 4 catches for him. Rashid Shaheed, 6 catches, 79 yards, 6 targets. I mean, he is somebody that, like, had these flash plays a couple of times this season. Are you going to be maybe taking a flyer on him late in drafts next year?
He's interesting for sure. I mean, he's a guy who has worked his way into that offense and having a meaningful role. And I thought maybe this would be a week for him to disappear with that excellent outside cornerback duo of Darius Slay and James Bradbury for the Eagles. But, you know, he still has another big play and makes himself heard from. So, yeah, Shaheed is interesting for sure. The guy really interesting to me, though, for next year, Ryan, is Kamara. Like, I want to see, I mean, for one thing, what do they do at quarterback? Does Sean Payton maybe end his sabbatical and come back? But, like, without Kamara getting the sort of usage in the passing game that he used to get at the height of the Drew Brees, Sean Payton offense, like, it just has not been as valuable. Like, he's had these flashes, but, you know, that plus the disciplinary thing hanging over his head that sort of got the can that was kicked down the road all season. So Kamara is going to be a really interesting case for next year.
Yeah. And I don't think it just in the eye test that he's any worse, you know, at pass catching. He hasn't fallen off the cliff. So it really will depend on the offense he's in and, you know, who the quarterback is. Is it a quarterback that's willing to dump off in the same way Drew Brees was late in his career? Eagles are going to host the Giants next week. Saints are going to host the Panthers. Speaking of the Panthers, they lost 30-24 to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. We already talked about Mike Evans. Chris Godwin had a good day, didn't get in the end zone, but 9 catches, 120 yards on 9 targets. He caught every ball thrown his way. Tom Brady, 432 yards, 3 touchdowns, also a rushing touchdown. Just remarkable that he can do that at the age of 45. I agree with you that watching him most of this season, it feels like he's washed, but that, I mean, it's still just nuts that a guy in his mid-40s can go out and do that. I mean, I turned 30 this year, and I can't imagine, like, let alone my skill level, I can't imagine just being physically able to go out and play an NFL game, like, and get up the next day, and he's doing it at 45, just wildly impressive.
Yeah, he is a remarkable specimen for sure. And, you know, it's just like that offense has been tough to watch recently. But today it was definitely going a little more smoothly. And the deep passing game finally opened up. Although I do think a lot of that has to do with J.C. Horn not playing for the Panthers today. Like, you know, their best cornerback by far. And without him, like the hole in the secondary really was obvious.
Leonard Fournette, Rashad White, nothing doing on the ground for the Bucs in this one. DJ Moore, team high 10 targets, 6 catches, 117 yards. and a touchdown. Obviously frustrated managers all season long. Sam Darnold has looked kind of good lately. Is there any part of you that kind of wants the Panthers to roll with Darnold next year, at least in terms of DJ Moore's fantasy hopes?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Darnold deserves to be somewhere, Ryan, at least like as one of these either high-end backups or maybe some sort of stopgap on a team that, like, a bridge quarterback for someone. Like, I think he's definitely got a future in the league, but probably not as anyone's long-term answer. But man, like, we saw DJ Moore struggling to get going early in the season with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. And with Darnold there, it was not a problem. And it wasn't a problem, even as Darnold struggled last season. Like, through the first half of the season, DJ Moore was still on like a 1,300-yard pace, 100-catch pace with Darnold at quarterback. Like, Darnold and DJ Moore worked together well for some reason, whereas it just did not work with Baker Mayfield and DJ Moore.
Shai Smith, Tommy Tremble both caught touchdowns in this one. Dante Foreman, just 35 yards on the ground. Chuba Hubbard had 53 through the air, just 12 on the ground. So, you know, the Bucs, when healthy, have a really good run defense. It hasn't been healthy a lot of the year, but they stifled the Panthers today. Panthers are at the Saints next week. Bucs are at the Falcons. Last game in the early slate, Browns 24, Commanders 10. Washington is now bounced from the playoff picture because the Packers won in the late afternoon slate. Amari Cooper, just 3 catches, but 105 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not really a sustainable pace in terms of that efficiency, but a good day from him nonetheless.
It was. You know, and he is a big play guy, or can be a big play guy. So, yeah, there were not many pass attempts for Deshaun Watson, only 18 attempts. But, you know, the receivers still managed to make it happen with Cooper, the 2 touchdowns. Donovan Peoples-Jones had a touchdown on what his only catch, I believe. Yeah, 1 for 13. So I think the only real disappointing thing with that offense, well, I guess David Njoku's one catch was disappointing, but never mind. Yeah, it was basically Njoku, you know, because Nick Chubb got his 100 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, Chubb 14 for 104. They don't really use him in the you know, up at the goal line in the same way they did with Jacoby Brissett. Like, ever since Deshaun Watson's gone back, they are willing to run him when they're up close to the goal line. He likes to throw for touchdowns. And I haven't actually looked at the numbers, but as somebody who rostered Nick Chubb in a team that made it to the fantasy championship, I really found myself the last couple of weeks feeling like, can we just get him in the end zone once here?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, he had running back one value pretty much the entire time with Brissett, and he has kind of turned into an RB2 under, you know, with Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
Brian Robinson on the other side of this one, 24 carries, just gets like maybe the most usage in the league this side of Derrick Henry, but only 87 yards, very inefficient with it. I don't fault him for that. I fault the team mostly. I don't know why they went with Carson Wentz. It makes negative sense to me. 16 of 28 passing, 143 yards, 3 interceptions, no touchdowns. He did rush for a touchdown on that, you know, where he sort of reached over. But I mean, he's just not a good quarterback. And it's obvious, and I think it's obvious that Taylor Heinicke gives them a better chance to win. Not that Heinicke's great, far from it, but gives this team, as it's constructed, a better chance to win. And I was messaging you this morning about Terry McLaurin and my hesitance to start him because of Carson Wentz, and I shouldn't have started him. He had 2 catches on 5 targets for 25 yards. For whatever reason, Carson Wentz just refuses to pepper the best player on the team with any targets. Jahan Dotson also did nothing. 3 catches, 37 yards on 7 targets. I mean, nobody did anything on offense for the Commanders in this one.
Yeah, I know at least Taylor Heinicke knew where his bread was buttered and gave Terry McLaurin a lot of targets. And, you know, when you presented me with some of your lineup options, and of course there was Isaiah Hodgins, Ryan, who I'm like, come on, you're not going to start Isaiah Hodgins over Terry McLaurin. Oh, turned out you should have. Who could have seen that coming? But yeah, the one that was really disappointing, Ryan, was Robinson. Just like, I thought he was going to smash against this Cleveland run defense that's been getting wrecked by running backs all season long. And, you know, if I would have known that he was going to get 24 targets, I would have guessed maybe something approaching 20 half point PPR points. No such luck. But the other thing, yeah, Wentz, like, I don't know what his future is, Ryan. I mean, some of those he did try throwing to Terry McLaurin once when he was completely blanketed and, you know, he missed by like 10 feet. That got intercepted. woefully underthrew Curtis Samuel on a deep ball. That was just one of the easier interceptions of the day. I didn't see his third interception, but I'm sure that one was probably no prettier than the first two. Yeah, man. Tough day for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, I get why the Colts took a chance on him after he flamed out in Philly. I kind of get why Washington did. I think they overpaid, but I get why they wanted to take a swing. I don't see how another team could justify it at this point. Why would you, you know, put any faith that he would be even a mediocre quarterback, let alone the guy we saw back in 2017? So it kind of feels like this is the end of the rope for him. Browns are at the Steelers. We obviously haven't seen them play yet this week. Commanders will host the Cowboys next week to wrap up their season. Late afternoon slate. We got four games left. 49ers 37, Raiders 34. Shocking game. Jared Stidham coming in for Derek Carr torched what is probably the best defense in football. 23 of 34, 365 yards, three touchdowns, two picks. He also had 34 yards on the ground. And of course, it helps a lot when you have Devontae Adams, seven catches, 11 on 11 targets, two touchdowns, 153 yards. Just continues to look like one of the three best wide receivers in football.
Yeah, I mean, right. I think the sort of fantasy storyline coming into today, maybe the most interesting one, was what do you do with Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams with Jared Stidham at quarterback? Because like Jared Stidham, I think it had 61 pass attempts in the NFL coming into today. There's no track record of success. Like it was a pretty bad numbers on those 61 attempts. And like, I was wondering if the Devontae Adams game might look a lot like the game that Adams had last year when Aaron Rodgers had COVID and Jordan Love had to make a start in Kansas City. And Jordan Love was terrible. He gave Devontae Adams 14 targets in that game, but Adams had six catches for 42 yards. And I wondered if it might be one of those where, you know, he barely scrapes out double digit PPR points on a 14 target game. No, instead, he absolutely smashes. Josh Jacobs pays off when he gets that late touchdown. So like, you know, these guys were just fine, and anyone who benched them because of quarterback fears, you know, it looks like the wrong move. But then again, there are the times where you see these backup quarterbacks come in, like Nick Foles with the Colts. You know, there've been other instances where guys just come in and sort of kill the offense, and you know, you should have benched all these top
and receivers. Especially against the 49ers. I mean, it'd be one thing if they were going up against a really poor defense, but this is a team that had been playing like the best defense in football for like 2 months now. Josh Jacobs, I mean, they maybe are not the best defense against the pass always, but against the run, like, I totally get why you would think Josh Jacobs might be worth going away from this week. But, you know, 17 carries, 69 yards and a touchdown, also had four catches. Darren Waller even was really good, 72 yards and a touchdown on just five targets. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, I think it's right process to have considered sitting them. I don't think I would have sat Devontae everywhere. I got a couple of questions on him, and I pretty much always said I wouldn't have the stomach to sit him in a fantasy title game. But Jacobs, given the matchup and the potential for the offense to really grind to a halt, I think it's at least justifiable, even if I think ultimately I probably would have started both.
Yeah, I like anyone who did sit Jacobs, don't kick yourself too hard, because the previous rushing high by any player against the 49ers all year was Caleb Huntley with 59 rushing yards way back in like week six.
Yeah. That's jeez. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no one had got even 60 rushing yards against them. No running back, no quarterback. Like, they had been just devastating
against 17 for 69 look pretty darn good.
It does.
On the San Francisco side, Christian McCaffrey, 19 carries, 121 yards, rushing touchdown, 72 yards through the air, nine targets. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on it, but in a Kyle Shanahan offense, is he just the clear cut number one pick again next year?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting debate, whether it's CMC or Justin Jefferson. And it's kind of funny.
Do you think that today's performance will leave a sour taste in the mouths of managers and actually steer them away? Whether or not it should, do you think it will?
I think it will with some people for sure. Maybe this does. And I wondered, because there are a lot of people who just would never, they'd never be willing or capable of drafting a wide receiver with the first pick. Like, some people just think it has to be a running back. But the funny thing is, like, you know, the running back traditionalists, I think we're all in on Jonathan Taylor with the first pick this year. And we're sort of poo-pooing the notion that maybe it should be McCaffrey because of the injury history. Well, I think a lot of those same people are going to be touting McCaffrey as the clear 101 next year since he didn't get hurt. But, you know, it's going to be a fun debate to have in the months to come.
George Kittle was awesome in the fantasy playoffs. Not as awesome today, just 4 for 23, but he did get in the end zone. He probably led a lot of managers to the title game with his performances in week 15 and 16. And Brandon Ayuk, team high 12 targets, 101 yards through the air, got a touchdown. I can envision a world where next August I am rostering Ayuk on like 80% of my teams. I feel like there's really a potential here to have a true, not that he was bad this year, but to have a true blow up season next year.
I agree. I think he's going to be a target of mine too, Ryan, because the numbers just have not matched the talent. And I think it's only a matter of time before those things come into alignment.
49ers host the Cardinals next week. Raiders host the Chiefs. Seahawks 23, Jets 6. Ken Walker, 23 carries, 133 yards, no touchdowns. He started off with that like 60-yard burst, you know, in like the first minute of the game. Just quickly, since you do the Dynasty show, right now he's running back what in Dynasty?
Oh, man, probably like five or I think five. I just updated my Dynasty rankings. I wish I could picture. I've still got Breece Hall ahead of him. I still think Breece Hall is a better player, but right behind him is Walker. And I think Walker's pretty much lived up to the billing, you know, like he's been as good as advertised. You know, I think Hall is special and I think Walker is really, really good, but maybe not quite special.
And Bijan will probably pass him as soon as the draft happens, right?
I think so. Yeah. Bijan is, you know, I don't want to say generational because that gets overused, but you know, he is in the Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley class as a prospect for sure.
And he's the only running back in this class that you think would be in that upper echelon. I know there's some really good ones, but
yeah, it's a good running back class, but he is the one who's got, you know, elite credentials.
Yeah. Geno Smith, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns. DK Metcalf did nothing. Tyler Lockett did nothing. Going up against, obviously, a supremely talented Jets secondary, that's not too surprising. Ty Johnson for the Jets, 8 carries, 46 yards. Bam Knight, 8 carries, 27 yards. Obviously, nothing doing there. They only scored 6 points. It was really nothing doing for anybody. Garrett Wilson, I know with Mike White back, a lot of folks were, you know, excited. Okay, well, we can be confident in Wilson again. Just 3 catches on 11 targets for 18 yards. So a really, really inefficient day for him. There's no long-term concern there, right? It's just a bad day.
I think so. And, you know, Mike White, maybe people were getting a little overconfident in his abilities. And Friedman and I were talking about this morning on the Betting Pros live stream. And when I was sort of touting the under in this game and, you know, like I was wondering why it should be over 42 something when like the Jets have been, you know, just this under machine all year because of their great defense and their limited offense. And, you know, I think people are just irrationally confident in Mike White merely because he had been better than Zach Wilson. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's been great. You know, he's been kind of getting it done. But you know, I thought Knight was going to have a better day against a Seattle run defense that has struggled for much of the last, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, but has actually been better the last 2 weeks.
Jets are at the Dolphins. Seahawks host the Rams next week. Packers 41, Vikings 17. I know you've been waiting to talk about this one. Justin Jefferson, we have sort of been around the bush with this. I'll just read his line. 5 targets, 1 catch, 15 yards, lost a lot of managers their fantasy title this week. Now, he got a lot of managers to the fantasy title game, so you can't be too mad, but just a truly stunning, you know, performance. I know Jaire Alexander is very, very good and was talking a big game about shutting down Jefferson, and he did. He earned the right to gritty in Jefferson's face as he did early in this one. I mean, he shut him down, and Jefferson was frustrated, and his managers were frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of people in our chat commiserating about Justin Jefferson, and I know he cost a lot of those people. My condolences to you if you were riding Justin Jefferson all season and, you know, his dud of a day let you down today. We couldn't have seen it coming. I mean, against the Packers in week one, 9 catches, 184 yards, 2 touchdowns. Although they did change up their scheme for some reason, like they had linebackers and safeties trying to cover him in zone like that first week, and putting Jair on him a little more made sense. But the 3 games prior to this one, Jefferson double digit catches in every game, 35 catches over his last 3 games for 479 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then this stink bomb today, it was just, you know, no one could have seen this coming.
Yeah. And like, yeah, you shouldn't feel bad. I mean, it's disappointing. You could be frustrated. It's not your fault if this happened. Like, obviously nobody in their wildest imagination would ever have sat Justin Jefferson. Nobody would have ever expected this. This is just the downside of fantasy. Sometimes these things happen. It's outside of somebody getting injured. It's basically the worst thing that can happen is just a random fluke, totally unexpected game like this from your best player. So, you know, just a tough one, and you kind of just got to swallow it and move on. Not a good day for any of the Vikings. Dalvin Cook, 9 carries, 27 yards. KJ Osborne had a touchdown. If you're in a deep enough league that you're starting him, TJ Hockenson got 12 targets, just 59 yards. Kirk Cousins was obviously atrocious, in classic Kirk Cousins, you know, non 1 p.m. game style. I got some heat on Twitter for making a tongue-in-cheek comment about how he's the player in the NFL that I'm most fine, like, talking about narratives with. Usually I sort of roll my eyes with. And so it's just kind of funny that this, you know, game then happened in a non 1 p.m. game. But he looked terrible. But yeah, really the whole Vikings offense just did nothing. And the Packers have been playing better in the second half of the season. To be sure, you mentioned the scheme change. They've looked better in almost every phase of the game in the second half of the year. Aaron Jones rushed really well, 14 carries, 111 yards. A.J. Dillon, 12 for 41 and a touchdown. Alan Lazard, 59 yards on 6 targets. Robert Tonyan had a touchdown. Christian Watson didn't do anything. He was banged up coming into this one, so I think expectations were pretty tempered on him anyway. And then Romeo Doubs, just to mention, 3 catches, 20 yards on 4 targets. What's your major takeaway from Green Bay?
Yeah, the game script did not really favor the Green Bay receivers with the blowout win. Aaron Rodgers really didn't have to take many shots downfield. And just sort of the way things went with Green Bay scoring on a kick return and scoring on an interception return. I mean, those actually, you know, those stole offensive snaps from the Packers. The fact that they were, you know, scoring on defense and special teams. So yeah, it just kind of didn't add up. I know like the Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs thing was like causing people a lot of lineup headaches and how they should play that. And there was just no right answer for the Packers wide receivers this week.
Packers host the Lions next week. That might, I don't think they've announced it as of yet. That might be the Sunday night one to wrap it up. I think it's probably the favorite right now. Is there another game I'm forgetting?
I think that is probably going to be the one with the most at stake. So I'd be shocked if that wasn't the Sunday nighter.
I guess technically the AFC South one between Jags Titans is the most at stake, because it's whichever one loses is going to be out. But I don't
think anyone wants to see the Titans. Yeah, exactly.
I'd much rather watch Lions Packers. So hopefully it's that, unless there's another one I'm forgetting. Vikings will be at the Bears next week. Last game here, Chargers 31, Rams 10. Austin Eckler is not a guy that I rostered on a lot of teams. He just wasn't my favorite target. And he was going in the first round, which is fair. I just liked other first rounders better. So I think I only have him in one league, and it was a league I had to auto draft in. But he had 10 carries, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think he has 19 touchdowns this season. He's close to 20 again. Just unreal. Great season. Real advocate for fantasy football as an industry. Just really fun to see him do so well on the biggest stage in the biggest moment for his fantasy managers. He also 39 yards through the air, but just a touchdown machine in what has turned back into a very good offense.
Yeah, and I like how they're using Eckler this year. They're not working him quite as hard as they did last year, and he's still paying off. You know, they've found that guy. I think they trust now with you know, Kelly giving him a little bit of a break. And that's what they needed. And, you know, let's hope so, because I'd love to see Eckler be able to sustain this for another 2 or 3 years. And
any argument for him as the number one pick, or it's CMC or Jefferson, not really worth considering anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's those two, but I think Eckler is top four for sure. And I wouldn't have any objection. Like, if someone wanted to take him number one, I mean, I'm not laughing at them in the, you know, draft room. Not at all.
Yeah. Justin Herbert, 21 of 28. I think a lot of people, he had 212 yards, by the way. I think a lot of people expected him to step into that elite tier of quarterbacks in fantasy this season. Didn't quite get there. In fact, probably an overall disappointing season, really. There was a lot of injuries with his receiving core, which didn't help. He still is hamstrung by his offensive play calling by Joe Lombardi. I think a lot of fans on Twitter are really unhappy with the way they call games for Herbert. Obviously, he's still supremely talented, and we believe in him as a quarterback. But are you tempering your expectations in 2023 based on what we saw this year?
Still a really high-quality starter. Still one of those seven or eight premium quarterbacks, I think. I've always felt Burrow was the better, more talented quarterback, and I kind of stated that belief last offseason, and I think a lot of people weren't happy with me when I said that. I think that sort of come to fruition, and people see that now that Burrow is the better player, but Herbert is still really good. I mean, he might not be quite as good as some people were hoping. I don't know if he's got, there's no Patrick Mahomes upside there. But still a really, so many teams would be delighted to have him as their quarterback of the future, you know?
Keenan Allen, 5 catches, 60 yards. Mike Williams, 7 catches, 94 yards, including a beautiful catch on the sideline, one-handed, sort of did a pirouette in the air. And then on the Rams side, quickly, I mean, Van Jefferson, 3 catches, 77 yards. I don't think that really moves the needle much. Cam Akers, 19 carries, 123 yards. One of the more polarizing guys in the preseason, was downright atrocious, almost left the team. It certainly was, reported and seemed that way before the trade deadline. And now he's ending the year really strong. Obviously, last week he had the 3 touchdown game, won a lot of matchups then. This week, no touchdowns, but 19 carries, 123 yards. I mean, is he somebody that you think has solidified his spot as RB1 in this offense for next year?
I hope so. I think so. And it's interesting that he was, he seemed to be in the doghouse and on the outs with Sean McVay earlier in the season. But, whatever has happened behind the scenes, obviously he is back in McVay's good graces. And it's nice to see him getting this sort of usage. But it is funny, Ryan, on the Twitter takeover this morning, someone had asked me, they were looking for a flex, and it was between Mike Evans, DeAndre Swift, or Cam Akers. And I told them Cam Akers. So this person, even before Akers' game started, was yelling at me, telling me I suck.
Of course.
And, it was still the wrong answer, but, the wrong answer was a guy who went for 120-some yards. And he did, apparently, I have not seen the highlight of this, but I saw some people tweeting about it. I guess he dropped a touchdown catch he should have had. Yeah. I missed that. That's too
bad. Would have been a long touchdown catch too, just wide open. So
yeah, but that, I do think that's a useful part of his game though. Like, he's not a one-dimensional run first guy. Like, I don't think he's a Brian Robinson. I think he's got, I shouldn't say that. Robinson can catch passes too, but I think Akers is, if they fully utilize that part of his skill set, he can potentially give you 50 or 60 catches in a season.
Rams are at the Seahawks next week. Chargers are at the Broncos. That will do it for us. Fitz, I can think of no better way to start 2023 than by podcasting with you. I can. It would have been if we could have talked about a Maryland basketball win today. But outside of that, no better way than to start 2023 than by talking a little fantasy with you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in both tonight and all season long. It's been a joy recapping every Sunday live with you all, with Deepak and Friedman and Erickson and Bogman, and of course now Fitz as well. Remember to check out the opportunity we mentioned with BetMGM, and also to stick with us for the entire offseason, because fantasy never sleeps. Congratulations to everyone who won a fantasy championship today, and best of luck to those who still need something tomorrow night. Bills, Bengals, probably a lot of players still going in a lot of leagues, and to those who, again, might be crazily playing in week 18 as well. For Pat, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.